22 minutes past 8 here on this Wednesday morning. Every Wednesday, Sue Cato comes in to do a little bit of spinning for us, sometimes for real, sometimes in a hypothetical sense. Sue, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Sue, you've travelled far and wide on this program for us. We've sent you on many missions, but we've got one for you this morning. Here's your ticket. You're heading off on the first flight to Hawaii, and your first job of the morning is to go and look after Robert Allenby. Now, what are the first words you're going to say to him as you step off that plane?
Shut up.
Ooh, very enough. Good advice.
Enough. He's gotten into enough trouble, I think, cease and desist, and hope people forget this episode.
The problem has been that there's been so many stories floating around, haven't there? And we've got the stories from the homeless woman. I think she's had two versions. We've had Robert's version that he was dropped off at a park, a homeless shelter park, 10 kilometres away from the bar. How does it read to you? You'd really need to tell him to be quiet, and then what do you do after that? Well, how do you clean it all up?
First of all, I mean, you know, the guy has been bashed and, you know, and looks pretty messed up and bruised, so if we can say that's not good. But if we can just talk about the optics of it all. From the first moment this started being reported by the golf journos and everybody else, it was, it's alleged, it's Robert Allenby says X, Y, and Z's happened. You know, Robert Allenby posts the photo of him looking worse for wear. Just the reporting of it immediately suggested that there were issues with versions of events. So that didn't look good for Allenby. And, you know, you're asking me what I would do. I'd actually take every single piece of his communications hardware, take it off him, lock it in a safe, and tell him just to go quiet.
All right, you're in the room with him, and he says, well, this woman saved my life. I want to go out. I want to take a TV crew with me, and I'm going to give her $1,000 publicly. And you know that he's made nearly $30 million in his career as a professional golfer. So what would you then say?
Well,
here's a grand to a homeless woman.
Yeah, and, you know, and look, $1,000 is a lot of people to a lot of people.
To them, a lot of money. Yep.
Is to most people, $1,000 is a lot of money. But what it does is kick it along and gives this story another day. You know, it could have been quietly done, that a message could have got out that Allenby has, you know, has sought to give a reward to this person. But to take a crew out and to sort of make it a huge deal just perpetuates the damage.
Yep.
More elegant way of doing it, if it had to be done and if he needed to kick it on, because I think most of us would have assumed he would have done something to be helpful, even if the woman did contradict him a couple of times. I just think, you know, it's not looking good.
Do you think maybe he's getting ready to try and sell his story? The true story.
Well, it kind of feels like it, but the problem is when you go out there with versions of events that don't stack up, and when you've got lots of journos tracking this stuff, you will always get caught out. Always.
How much would 60 Minutes will go? To you, Gary. We got our spinner here. Also got our former director of news at
the man,
Channel
the
9.
The man with the checkbook.
Okay, so how much for a walkthrough of the night with Charles Woolley? Now, you started the night here, and so Charles and Robert are sitting at the bar, and you walked out to here, and then you came out here, and, well, and Charles leads him out into the park, and...
Well, A, you'll be producing it because I like that idea.
Sounds good, doesn't
I do
it?
Like that
how much,
idea.
How much for that?
I reckon there's 150. 150,000?
Yeah, but guys, but the question is it a puff piece? Is it a puff piece? The boys here have worked out how to make money. Is it a puff piece or could it be actual a stitch-up? Because if 60 got right behind the yarn and said this was Robert Allenby and then this is what we've worked out, it could be a total tear.
You don't understand. All I want is the promo to run all week on air that says the real story.
Yeah.
Robin Allenby. Finally, the truth.
And then you just walk him through the bar.
And it doesn't matter what you have on Sunday night, as long as everyone's been hooked in to come and watch the program.
Now, and this is why you're on TUE doing radio now.
Talking about... Whoa, slap. Talking about paying for stories, what did you think of the Jeff Kennett issue yesterday? Should the survivors of the Lindt Cafe siege be giving paid television interviews?
Okay. I think Kennett was a bit hard on the victims. I would actually pull back and look at the overall situation. It's kind of unfortunately predictable that this is where it would end up. And
well, Jeff Kennett calling them grubby.
Yeah, well, you know,
that's how it always ends.
He has form, but you'd kind of expect that the major networks would want to hunt this down as a big yarn. It's interesting that they haven't got all of the siege victims, and I'm going to be the last person to actually sort of pour any more pain onto what these guys have already been through.
But,
I just have to say, for me, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Why?
And I, because it's so horrific, because two people lost their lives, you know, horrifically and tragically. Those families are suffering through it. I'm just saying it causes me a degree of unease that it's on. But can I tell you one of the things?
They're making money out of it?
No, just the whole reliving and, I mean, every aspect of it, quite frankly. But the thing that actually intrigues me more, and intrigue is probably a soft word, is Channel 9 cutting in on Seven's wave. I mean, if you think about Seven, they were part of this whole play out. And as we all know, there were rumours that it was actually Seven that was the target. But, you know, he had seven staffers in there. Seven will have all the vision. Seven, I thought, was really, really thoughtful during the aftermath of the siege, how they carried it. And so here's Nine dropping in on Seven's yarn. Now, no surprise, all's fair in love and war and media. But anyway, made me think.
All right, quick one, 10 seconds. Ever fallen asleep in a meeting, in a place, in a public place? Ever fallen asleep while something's been so boring or...?
Look, I'm a champion of the power nap and can be asleep on a plane before it takes off. Happily have never fallen asleep in a meeting.
Really? All right. Gary's fallen asleep in quite a few.
Well, I said I did it with my eyes open, though. Yeah.
All right. Okay. 28 minutes past 8, 13, 13, 32. If you want to hit the phones, just very quickly, Val, hello.
Hi. Look, ever since this Albi thing happened, I get the feeling you're all trying to make him out a liar, and it's coming over very strong. I mean, I don't know the man. All I do is like him, I play golf. But I don't see why. I mean, has he got a reputation of that? And we've never heard of anything. But everything in the... All the interviews always indicate like he's not telling the truth.
Yeah, look, it does...
No one's suggesting he's a liar, no, Val, and there's no doubt everyone believes that something has happened to him and something bloody awful too. He's been bashed, no doubt about that. There are just some holes in the story and discrepancies there that just leave you thinking maybe we haven't heard the entire story so far. That's